Honored I am to be able to assemble together in the Lord's house again this morning. And I know we're spread out a little bit more than usual, but that's all right. We're thankful just to be able to be here this morning. And I'm glad the Lord's been a-working. I said it already and feel like I need to say it again. Had we not been able to meet in the building this morning, it wouldn't have changed the mind of God for the service today. And what He has in store for us. And so I am glad to be able to be here, though, and thank the Lord for this privilege. Glad to see each one of you, and appreciate again all the effort and the labor that was put into making it possible to have services outside the building, and appreciate everybody that put forth an effort in that, setting up, taking down, hauling trailers, and everything that was done. I appreciate that. Thank the Lord for it. Trust that God will bless you for it if He's not already. And just trust He'll help us this morning. I appreciate His faithfulness in these uncertain times. I'm glad there's a place where we can go to. I'm glad there's a refuge and a hiding place in these days. And trust that God will help us this morning. I appreciate what He has been doing, how He's been meeting with our hearts. I appreciate His work in our hearts on Wednesday night, and I thank the Lord for that. I don't know if He spoke to your heart, but He helped my heart, and I'm grateful for it. Appreciate the food from the Word of God and the Holy Ghost speaking to us. All right, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll turn, please, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. We'll read some verses here and try to give you what's on our heart for the service this morning. Trust that the Lord will help us and desire your prayers for us this morning, that He would touch us. Mark chapter number 5, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to stand, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture, no doubt, that we'll read into your hearing, and want to read several verses this morning if the Lord would help us. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 21. The Bible said, "When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, If I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult that and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. And we read verses 21 through 43. And as we begin reading in verse number 21, the Bible spoke about Jesus passing back over the Sea of Galilee unto the other side. In the beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we read about him getting in the ship and going across unto the other side to the land of the Gadarenes, to that man that was possessed by a legion of demons, and him casting the demons out. And that man that the Bible said that no man could clothe him, they couldn't keep chains on him. He would break the chains, tear off his clothes, and would spend his days and his nights in the tombs and crying out, and no man could do anything to help that man. The Bible said that Jesus stepped off the boat, and as soon as he did, this man that was possessed by these devils, he met the Lord and fell at his feet. And those that were within him cried out and said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High, what have we to do with Thee? Art Thou come to trouble us before our time? And we all know the story about how that the Lord cast the demons out, sent them into the swine. They ran off the hill and drowned themselves in the sea. And the Bible said that this man that nobody could clothe, that nobody could tame, that nobody could keep bound, when they found him, that he was at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And so after all of those things came to pass, and after the Lord, he wanted to go with him, he said, bid me come with you. And the Lord said, no, but go back and tell everybody what's happened to you today, what great things the Lord had done for you today. He gets back in the boat, as we pick up reading, and he sails back across the Sea of Galilee. And as he goes and he makes his way back, when he lands, there's a great multitude waiting for him. They've heard about his miracles, they've heard about his preaching, they've watched him do the things that nobody else could do. They understood that nobody can do these things except they be sent from God, that no man had ever been able to do anything like what this man did. I thought about those Roman soldiers that were sent to arrest him later on in the Gospels and bring him back to the high priest and to the council that had convened to put him to death. And the Bible said that when they came, that he began to preach, and they dropped their swords and their spears, and they went away. And when they came back, the high priest said, why have you not brought him? And the only answer they could give was, never man spake like this man spake. There's something different about him. We've never heard anybody talk like him. And so the multitudes gathered together. They had never heard any man preach like this man. They had never met a man with power like this man, that could touch the blinded eyes and they would open again, that could touch those that were lame and cause them to walk again, that could touch the leper, and instead of him contracting leprosy, that the leprosy would flee from them and they would be made clean again. And so they gathered together, and as they're gathered, all these multitudes, I thought about, there's no doubt how many, I don't know, in the crowd, but what everybody, every one of them in the crowd that day probably had something that they needed or desired for the Lord to do for them that they could not do for themselves. But here comes, the Bible records, specifically this ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus. And he comes to where the Lord is. And he said, I've not come for myself, but I've come for my daughter that's laying at home, and she's at the point of death. And he said, I just want you to come. I don't know what all Jairus had heard, but apparently he had heard enough to know that whatever the Lord needed to do, it could be done. And so Jairus came, and he said, I just want you to come to my house. I'm not able to get her to you, but I've come to get you for her and take you home with me. And he said, I just want you to lay your hands on her, and she shall live. I thought about these verses, probably one of the best messages I've ever heard preached from these verses. Oh, man of God that I have such confidence in, preached a message about somebody go get the Lord. And I'm telling you, if there's ever a need in our day for our children and our grandchildren, our husbands and our wives, our sons and our daughters, our neighbors, our kindred, and our acquaintances, it's that somebody that knows the Lord can do what they need. They can't get to him on their own behalf. We ought to be able and willing to go get him for him ourselves, to go entreat and beg. Jairus couldn't make the Lord come, and we couldn't make the Lord come either, but we can go and ask and beg. The Bible said he besought him. That means to get down on your hands and knees and to beg and plead. For see, the Bible said it was his one and his only daughter. He didn't have another daughter. It wasn't just that she could go and another would take her place, but this was his only lifeline. This was his only hope. This was his only help. Would to God in our churches again. I'm just trying to get down where I feel I need to be, but I wish we'd realize again and pray that we will, that he's our only help and he's our only hope. There is no other lifeline besides him. It's not about the self-help books, and it's not about the evangelist or the preacher, but it's about the Lord, and there's nobody else that can help us except for him this morning. That's right. I thought about here as he goes, some of the most precious words in all the Bible begin to stir in my heart. And it said, and he went with him. I mean, here's this man, and out of all the multitude that had come, and all of them needing help, yet the Lord walked away from them and went with this man. I'm telling you, there have been days in my life that if you could look back, and there'd be days in yours when everybody else in the world needed something, but it felt like he came to your house and came where you were. I thought about on the back side of the building, many times as we gather together, out of all the churches in all the world and all the people of God in all the world, and I understand he can be with them just like he can with us at the same time, but you understand what I'm saying. When it feels like he leaves everybody else and he comes to our house and our place of worship and our church and our family and our problems and our need, I'm glad we serve a God that can do that. And so I don't know what you've come in need of this morning, but I'd be honest with you, I didn't have anything. As of about yesterday evening, didn't have a thing, and just sat down in the bedroom at my chair there, and I said, Lord, you always got to help me, but I've got nothing. You really going to have to help me here. And it just like it started rolling over in my heart and in my mind. You say, preacher, wasn't you worried? No, I wasn't worried. I knew God's been a working in such a way that I knew if he wanted it preached, he'd give it. And if he didn't, he wouldn't. I'm not talking about being lazy. I've read and prayed and studied, but it just wasn't there. But last night I was sitting in my chair, and I got to thinking about this woman with the issue of blood. And I got to thinking about Jairus and what he said. He said, if you'll just come touch her, that's all we need, just for you to touch her. And this woman come behind. You say, he didn't touch her. Oh, he did. She said, if I can just touch him. But it wasn't so much in him, her touching him, but it said, and he touched her. For the Bible said when she touched his garment, immediately virtue went out of him, and he perceived it. Something in her, in him, reached out and touched her. And as I was sitting there last night, it started rolling over in my mind, and in my heart that song, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I thought about all the ones in the Bible, and that's what I want to preach on for just a minute. Only touched me. I'm glad there's a blessed day in my life. He came by where I was as a lost sinner on my way to hell and deserving to be there, but he touched me when I couldn't reach up. I'm glad he reached down. The Bible said he came to me and brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay. What does that mean, preacher? That means I couldn't get where he was, but he came where I was and got down there with me and brought me up and set my feet on a rock and established my going. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying he touched me. All the ones in the Word of God, they might have had different needs. And I'm just trying to preach the hats on my heart. I ain't got nothing fancy this morning. I just got what's on my heart. But it's a working in my heart. And I hope it's a working in yours. I got to thinking there's all kinds of touches for all kinds of needs. I thought about this dead little girl. She needed a touch of resurrection. I'm glad if you're dead in trespasses and sins and you've never been born again, I'm glad there's a touch from another world that can bring you out of the grave. The Bible said she was dead, and they laughed him to scorn. He said, she ain't dead, she's just sleeping. In other words, he said, I'm here, and things about to change. But I'm telling you what, this morning, sinner, if you're lost and on your way to hell, you're dead in trespasses and sins. There's no life in you. That's why we can't expect a lost man to do better. A dead man can't do any better. But oh, I'm glad that there's a touch of resurrection that can bring you out of the grave and set you on living ground. As he was going, he's walking through the crowd. Got a purpose on his mind. But you can believe what you want to believe. But I think he knew the way to go. I think maybe even he got in front. And Jairus wasn't no longer leading. And I'm just preaching hacks on my heart. And maybe he took a detour down a side road. And Jairus said, there's a quicker way to get to my house. And the Lord said, just walk with me. I know what I'm doing. And down that long side road was a woman with an issue of blood that had been all she had. And was none better, but rather grew worse. But the Bible said she heard. Ain't you glad for the day you heard that Jesus was passing by? And she said, I've tried everything else. You may be here lost this morning, sinner, and you've tried everything else. You might have tried church membership, but it just won't do. You might have tried a profession, but it just won't do. You might have tried baptism or anything you can think of. Why don't you try him? You're not getting any better. I mean, you're just getting worse and worse all the time. Amen. And I think down one of them back roads. Now, this ain't in the Bible. It's just my theology, okay? But I think down one of them side roads, she looked and said, there he comes. This is my chance. This is my opportunity. It didn't matter to her how she got there. She just knew she had to get there. The Bible said she pressed her way through the crowd. I can see her in my mind's eye down on her hands and knees. It didn't matter how many times her hands got stepped on. It didn't matter how much dust she eaten. It didn't matter how many times they kicked her in the head. She said, I got to get to him. There ain't no hope nowhere else. I'm telling you, sinner, this morning, if you get that desperate, well, you got to get to him. And there ain't nothing else or nobody else that you can set your mind on. That's when business will pick up. She needs to touch a remedy. old J. Iris' daughter down there laying on her deathbed needing to touch a resurrection. But this woman wasn't dead yet. She was just on her way. And if she didn't get a remedy, she was going to die. And I'm telling you this morning, sinner, I know on the inside spiritually you're dead already. And you need a touch of resurrection. But if you don't get the remedy, then you're going to die in your sin and go to hell. I know that ain't popular preaching. And I know nobody wants to hear it. But it's the truth. But I'm glad there's a man that can touch you and change your life forever. All these people, and I'm not judging anybody or calling nobody out, but all these people walk around all the time with their head hung down saying, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I believe I was yesterday. Don't know if I am today or not. I got some Bible going to blow them out of the water. I was reading and it stuck out in my mind. I'd read it before, but it worked in my heart again. I'm telling you, if you get rid of something as bad as a blood disease, you'll know it. The Bible said when she touched him that immediately her issue of blood stains. That means it dried up. It got better. And the Bible said Jesus stopped in the middle of the crowd and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? All the people are touching you. I mean, they've all got their hands on you. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I perceive virtue's gone out of me. And so he said, I'm looking for the one that not so much that touched me, but I'm looking for the one I touched. And the Bible said, she trembling. And the Bible said, knowing in herself what was done. She didn't have to go to the doctor. She didn't have to get the preacher's opinion. She didn't have to read the front of her Bible where she had it wrote down, but she knew in herself that she had been changed. The Bible said in another one of the Gospels, she knowing what was done in her, fell down before them and told them for what reason she had touched them. That sounds like testifying to me that if you ever get it in you, it'll want to come out of you and tell what God's done for you. Sometimes we sing them old songs. And I know we don't really sing that one around here. That's all right. Maybe we need to learn it and pick it up. But I think if we'd go back and could talk to the writers of the songs, I don't know so much we sing them like it's in their heart to write them. It's kind of like me. I've been in a place here lately where I wished I could preach it like it's in my heart. The Lord's helping me this morning. I appreciate it. But there's something going on inside me that I just can't so much tell you about. But if you're saved, it's going on in you too. And I know that there was a day. And so I think about that writer of that song, whoever he or she was. I think they meant it to be sung with some feeling. When they sang, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. I'm telling you this morning, there's a touch that he can touch you with. That's the remedy this morning. The Bible said she spent all her living on many physicians, suffered many things of many physicians, and was none bettered. But there was a remedy. She had spent all her days with the doctor saying, I'm sorry. We've done all we can do. But there's just no hope. But I'm glad for a man that could do more than any doctor. And he was the doctor, the great physician. I'm glad this morning what man can't do, God can do this morning. And so if you're here this morning, you're lost. I'm glad there's a touch for you. A touch of resurrection can bring you from death unto life. Can bring you out of darkness and put you into light. It can be the remedy for the situation of sin that plagues your soul. But I got to reading a little further. And the Lord got to working in my heart. And I know I spent some time this morning preaching to sinners, spent more time than I thought I would. But I thought about some more in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for the day that he touched me and made me whole. I'm glad for the day for the touch of resurrection. I'm glad for the day for the touch of remedy. But I'm glad His touch don't stop there. I'm glad it's not just a one-time touch. I'm not talking about more than one salvation. But I'm talking about when we get in a fix and we have problems come up and the storms beset our vessel. I'm glad there's still a touch from the Master's hand that can fix all the problems in our lives. I thought about there's not just a touch of resurrection and a touch of remedy. But I'm glad after we get saved and we get in a mess and get in a fix and all the problems of our life come flooding in, I'm glad there's a touch of relief. I'm glad you can find some relief. And God, whoa, I got the burden in my heart last night and I couldn't get away. I studied all of them and tried my best to get them all from the Lord. But this one about relief just weighed me down. And I said, oh Lord, somebody's going to come tomorrow and they're going to need some relief. And I'm telling you this morning, if you need some relief, there's some relief to be found in Him. If you need some relief from your fears, it can be found in Him. I thought about that day over there in the Gospels when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. And the Bible said there appeared with Him Moses and Elias talking with Him. And they all, Peter said it, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Bible said a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice out of heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. As if to say there is no other tabernacle. There is no one else to worship besides Him. And the Bible said in one of the Gospels that they fell down with fear and were fearful. And the Bible said the only thing that could relieve their fear was that the Lord walked over where they were and touched them and said, be not afraid. Maybe there's something going on in your life and the fears have been welling up inside you. You don't know what's going to happen. The situation is beyond your control. The situation's beyond your explanation. And it's got you afraid. Lie awake in the bed at night, crying and worrying about what's going to happen because you're afraid. I'm glad this morning there's a touch of relief that can come from another world, that can take all your fears away. It's not going to make, it may not change the situation. It may not make it magically vanish, but He can sure quiet your fears. The writer of the song said, sometimes when misgivings darken my way, He whispers sweet peace to me. I thought about, and I'm just trying to preach it as on me this morning. I thought about that relief. I thought about that day over there in Peter's house, his mother-in-law laid sick of a fever. And they asked the Lord to touch her. And the Bible said He did. He went in and touched her. And her fever broke and she stood up and ministered unto them. But the Lord got to grabbing my attention. And He said, I want you to look what a fever is. And it means an unbalance on the inside. There's something out of the ordinary going on the inside. And it makes the body uncomfortable. And I'm telling you this morning, whoever you are and wherever you're sitting, that if there's something out of the ordinary going on the inside of you and you feel uncomfortable, feel like things are just out of balance and you need some relief this morning, I'm glad I know the fever breaker. I'm glad He can help you when nobody else can help you. I'm glad there's a touch of relief. Aren't you glad of that? A touch of relief. But then I thought about in our church world today, so many are hurting, so many are in trouble. I'm glad this morning when we don't know which way to go and we don't know which way to turn. I'm glad there's a touch of reassurance. The Lord brought to my mind again that leper we preached about, I think, last Sunday. And the whole word, it's just a little bitty word, but the whole word, his whole conversation hinged on was if. If! You may be here this morning and you know he can, but you just wonder if he will. And in your mind you're saying, if. Oh, if Lord. If the Lord would just work in my situation. I thought about old Gideon that day, fresh and wheat by the wine press, hiding from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord's with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "If the Lord be for us, why then is all this befallen us?" And I'm preaching to somebody this morning that in your mind and in your heart, you're saying, "Lord, if you really are in control, why is all this going on? Lord, if you really do care about me, Lord, if you really do love me, why are you allowing all this to happen?" I'm glad that the Bible said that leper, he wasn't so sure. Oh, there's no doubt in his mind the Lord could, but he needed reassurance that the Lord would. And the Bible said, he said, "I will." And he reached out and touched him. I'm telling you this morning, there's a touch of reassurance for you. If you feel like your world's coming apart and you're doubting everything's right, I'm glad the Lord can touch you this morning. And then I thought, maybe you're here this morning and I'm done. Maybe you're here this morning and you're missing something that you used to have. I'm glad there's a touch of restoration for you. But that thing you used to have that you don't have anymore, he can restore it unto you. I thought about that day when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the garden. Peter got angry, drew his sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. All of a sudden he lost something he used to have. And the Lord touched him. And the Bible said it was restored like to the other. And I'm telling you this morning, you might have come into the house of God lacking something you used to have. Be it your tears, be it your joy, whatever it may be, the closeness you once had, that looking back in your life, there was a day that you were closer to him and spent more time with him than you do now. And it's gone from you. And you'd like to have it back. And nothing you can do to get it back, but he can give it back. He can restore you. Make it like it used to be. All these people came. Now I'm going to tell you something the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I'm done this morning. Many of these people came knowing when they came they needed a touch from him. Some of them didn't realize until after they got there how much of a touch they were really needing. You might have come this morning thinking that everything was all right, you was making it just fine, doing the best you can. But you've realized more than you ever have before what a touch you need from him. Whatever your condition, whatever your shape, if you're lost this morning, he can touch you. If you have a need this morning, if you're troubled, if you need some relief, if you need some restoration, if you need some reassurance, he has the touch this morning. Matters not what all these folks came for. They all went away saying the same thing. He touched me. I thought about little old Jairus' daughter. It doesn't matter your age. If you need a touch this morning, the Bible said she is 12 years old, but she needs a touch from Him. You may be here and be young this morning, but if the Lord spoke to your heart, He has a touch for you. And you can go away singing and saying the same thing. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. As we stand to our feet this morning, there's plenty of room at the altar for you if you need to come. Space out however you want to. I wouldn't really worry about it anyway. If the Lord was speaking to my heart and I needed a touch from Him, I would come this morning, get the touch I needed. Whatever the touch may be, if you need that touch of remedy, if you need that touch of resurrection, He has it for you, sinner. But if you're saved this morning, you need some relief, some reassurance, some help from Him, there's help to be found for you. Would you come? Some have come. I think others probably need to, but that's between you and the Lord. He can help you today. He can touch you. You can go away crying, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Don't have to go away sorrowful. Don't have to go away in the same shape you come. Don't have to go away with the same need you came in need of. You can be made whole this morning, whatever whole means for you. There's a touch from above, and He can touch you today. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, today for this privilege and opportunity to be able to gather together in Your house today. I thank You for each one that's come. I appreciate Your presence in the house of God. I thank You, Lord, for speaking to hearts. Thank You for those obedient hearts that have come and gathered together this morning. I thank You for it. I pray, Lord, this morning that You'd meet their needs. Lord, whatever their touch of need is, I pray, Lord, You'd touch them and help them today. Thank You, Lord, for being mindful of us and loving us and caring about us. Lord, I pray You'd take the furtherance of the service this day. Everything that's been done and said and will be done and said, and may You get the glory and the honor to Yourself. What a privilege and a blessing it's been together in Your house today. I pray that You've received the honor and the glory. We thank You and praise You and love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.